I always describe New York as my first love, who I didn't marry. You know, when I see her, you know, my heart goes a flutter.
President Obama, back when he was just a lowly U.S. senator, still doing book tours and speaking at a Barnes & Noble here in the city. And if he still feels that way about New York being his first love and his heart still goes a flutter, even though he didn't marry her, as he put it, you know, he married Chicago. If New York is his first love, the Center for an Urban Future here in the city is saying, show us that love. Now that he's president, the center has just published a report entitled 51 Things the Obama Administration Can Do to Help New York City. It's not a ranking. It's just 51 different things. And we have been asking for your top five things that the Obama administration can do for New York City. So we'll share some of those with our guests at 212-433-WNYC if you want to call some in. And we've got a whole bunch on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Joining us now, Jonathan Bowles and Tara Colton, both from the Center for an Urban Future. They both worked on this report. Jonathan, Tara, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
By the way, a couple of things, some Obama news just coming in from Washington. He did now begin overhauling U.S. treatment of terror suspects, signing orders to close Gitmo, review military trials of suspects, and ban the harshest interrogation methods, as we talked last hour that he was going to do. And also the Treasury Secretary nominee, Tim Geithner, has now been approved, not by the full Senate yet, but by the committee, which voted 18-5, despite his tax mistakes, the Senate Finance Committee, to send the Geithner nomination to the full Senate. All right. So this is not a ranking of 51 things. It's just 51 things. How did you compile a list, Tara?
You know, we started this project in the summer really excited and eager about what New York could do to put an agenda forward for whoever the next president was going to be. And we conducted interviews with dozens and dozens of experts in fields from public safety and transportation to housing and energy. And we really tried to generate some interesting ideas. And then in the fall, we had to hone them slightly because we couldn't have 51 things that all called for new spending. We certainly needed to be sensitive to the economic climate. So you'll see that some of the recommendations are specifically calling for new funding. And in some cases, they're about improving the efficiency and perhaps streamlining the way that government does business.
Number 22, take immediate steps to ensure that the 2010 census does not undercount New York and other cities. Why is that a priority, Jonathan?
I think this is one of my top priorities, actually. It hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but the census is months from getting underway. And this is one of the things that will affect New York more than anything else because it determines funding for so many areas of federal projects. And there's a very real risk right now that New York will be undercounted. The Census Bureau under the Bush administration was really neglected. It was underfunded. And also we're at an environment right now where immigrants are really feeling a lot of fear and intimidation after a year or more of a lot of heated rhetoric around immigration issues. And for a city that has 37% foreign-born residents, we need to make sure that all of those residents get counted and that there's an accurate count of the city's population.
I'm going to read your number one listed recommendation in each of your major categories. For crime and public safety, allocate anti-terror funds based on risk, not pork. For transportation infrastructure, dramatically increase the share of federal transportation spending that goes to mass transit. For economic development, double support for federal micro-enterprise programs. For housing, restore funding for public housing. Immigration, you just said it. It's the census. For education, improve access to higher education. For workforce development, increase the federal investment in the Workforce Investment Act. For reducing poverty, expand the federal earned income tax credit. For energy and the environment, create a large-scale nationwide initiative to retrofit buildings. For health, make universal health insurance a reality. For the arts, streamline the visa process to make it easier for musicians, artists, and other creative professionals to enter the country. And consumer protection, enact more stringent consumer protections on banks and credit card insurers. You think the credit card issue is a particularly urban one?
Yeah, New York has so many people who are poor and working poor that are really bearing the brunt of the high costs and fees for credit cards and other banking products, and it really hasn't been regulated well in recent years. So the fact that we have so many of these consumers here, we really could benefit.
From our website, Corey from Brooklyn posted a top five. End daylight savings time, end daylight savings time, end daylight savings time, end daylight savings time, and increase funding for the MTA. What is it about daylight savings time? Does that make your list at all?
This time of year, it would be kind of nice. Yeah, I'd like it to get light a little earlier.
I think that was number 52.
And with respect to mass transit, we have a clip of Lee Sander, who was, of course, the head of the MTA, and he was on the show last hour, and he was lobbying very heavily for the MTA to be very much included in the stimulus package with the shovel-ready projects that he has for East Side Access for the Long Island Railroad and the Second Avenue subway and other things. Lee Sander making his case.
You know, we have projects ready to go, and we're going to try and see if we can get more money than the $1.5 to $3 billion. End of next year, we also will have the five-year federal reauthorization, and that hopefully will yield, another $6 to $10 billion. Hopefully with this stimulus package and the next federal reauthorization, we hope to get about $10 billion, $10-12 billion of the 30. But the bulk of it, will have to be state and local.
But, Tara, this is where a lot of worthy causes bump up against each other, because is that more worthy than restoring funding for public housing or doing the census right, which might take more money, or allocating anti-terror funds based on risk, not pork, or improving access to higher education? How, especially in times like these, do we balance all these 51 priorities and Lee Sanders and Corey's from Brooklyn and everybody else?
I think that the real goal we had with this document is for it to be a starting point for conversation. We were fully aware when we started this that all 51 of these things, or 52 if you included daylight savings time, are not going to necessarily get enacted. There simply isn't enough money. The idea was to really put forth an agenda, not just for New York, but for urban areas and cities in general, to get the Obama administration and the 111th Congress really talking and thinking about the priorities. So that's why we intentionally haven't ranked them, because we want this to really be a catalyst for discussion and put some talking points before leaders to get them saying, hey, these are some things we should think about, and what is more important? And in some cases, where are we going to get the most bang for our buck? And we included several recommendations that we feel have a pretty strong return on investment down the road. Investing in early childhood education, English language instruction, these are things that if you pay for them now, the demand for services down the road may be lessened.
By the way, Corey from Brooklyn, if you're out there, why don't you call in and we'll give you 30 seconds to tell us why you think it would help New York so much to end daylight savings time. 212-433-WNYC for you, Corey. 212-433-9692. Annie in Wilton, you're on WNYC. Annie.
Hi, this is Annie Farrell. I'm in Wilton, Connecticut at the moment. I help people rebuild farms in areas around urban areas, very within throwing distance of New York City.
So you want to see?
What I want to see is one of those major categories addressing food within the city. There's a huge movement afoot, obviously, for community gardens and retrofitting structures on the ground for food production and low-tech energy.
Annie, thank you very much. Rick in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Rick.
Hey, good afternoon. For years, I've worked in a facility in the city of New York, and we keep coming into a high percentage of people with asthma. At the same time, when I drive home from work on the Deegan Expressway, or even if I take the train, there's constant soot. I think it's incumbent upon the new administration to actually hold the feet to the fire of the people who are creating this soot. And a lot of times, it's New York City. And a lot of the pollution laws have not been enforced going back 25 years.
And, Rick, I'm going to leave it there. EPA enforcement, and you don't actually have an environment category, Tara, on the list of your recommendations, right?
We have a section on energy and the environment.
Oh, you
so
do.
We combine
I'm sorry.
Those
I apologize. Energy and the environment. And your number one there was create a large-scale nationwide initiative to retrofit buildings. The higher education one, Jonathan, is that particularly pro-New York because we're such a center of higher education institutions?
Well, I think I thought of it less as for the higher education institutions than we have so many people that are struggling to get into the middle class today. And higher education is such a building block for that. More than ever, you need increasingly a two-year or a four-year degree. We have so many people who are working poor. Access to higher education is not simply going to benefit New York, but it could greatly benefit this city. Over the long run. And I just want to say that, you know, I think one of the reasons we did this in general, you know, one of your callers mentioned the farm issue and alternative energy and asthma. You know, this is not just a historic situation with Obama's inauguration. This is not just an amazing relief that the Bush era has ended, but it's a unique opportunity for cities. We've had decades where there's been no urban policy. So, yes, there's going to be a lot of hard choices about where money gets spent and whether we can do all these things. But we have a administration now that's coming into office that actually understands cities. He's a lifelong resident of cities, and he's interested in issues like sustainability. For the first time, really, we're seeing that from a president.
He's really our first urban president or first urban president in a long time. Would your list have been different if John McCain was elected?
You know, as Tara mentioned, we started this before any of the nominations were complete. Our idea was just that things were going to get better from the last 8 years. Let's start with by putting a series of specific ideas from the get-go for New York City. So I don't think that they would have been that different. I think that we're just blessed with this amazing opportunity for New York today.
Peter from Crown Heights, fund Amtrak at a level that enables vast improvements to intercity rail service. Landless from Brooklyn writes, among other things, revive second-tier cities, restore manufacturing throughout the U.S. Ashwin from Piscataway, what President Obama can do for New Jersey, federal funding for increasing public transport and for public works to lower property taxes. Federal government's role?
Well, I mean, on property taxes, I don't know if that's the thing that I would put on my top 50 list. But, you know, when it comes to Amtrak, for instance, though, this is something that New York is going to disproportionately benefit from. We have roughly twice as many Amtrak riders as any place in the country. And this is the same kind of thing with so many issues on public transportation or subways and buses. Our system is roughly the size of the next 10 largest public transportation systems in the U.S. Our public housing system is by far the largest in the country. In fact, about 400,000 people in public housing in New York, about the size of Atlanta. So if there is a stronger urban policy with more resources that goes to cities, New York is going to greatly benefit.
All right, folks, you can keep posting your top five things that you would like President Obama to do from New York. Jason from Manhattan wrote, pardon Plaxico. So you can ignore that one and post yours. And if you want to see the 51 things listed by the Center for an Urban Future, you can go to our website and click on Brian Lehr Show. We have a link to their report. Jonathan and Tara from the Center for an Urban Future, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehr on WNYC. By the way, Corey just called on Daylight Savings Time, but we don't have time. We'll put him on tomorrow.